Oh, what a wonderful, beautiful sight it is in here. This is amazing. Just want to say happy Easter to you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to rephrase it. Yes, I say happy Easter, but I want to make sure I'm saying happy Resurrection Sunday to you. I don't know if you saw any strange news from the Christian world and churches this week, but I read about a church that was eliminating the word resurrection from their services today. So that's a little too Christian. That's a little too offensive. And so they had a list of terms they weren't going to use, including resurrection, including the blood of Jesus. And so we're going to lean a little further. We're going to make up for their debt. Oh, so happy Resurrection Sunday to you this morning. I mean, this is the only reason we are here is because He rose. I mean, would we be even following after these words and commandments if it were not for the resurrection? So happy resurrection. This is, without a doubt, the most significant event in human history. Hands down, without a doubt, there is no comparison. So let me break it down to you. Jesus came from heaven to earth for you. When he was here, he said some crazy things. He said, he was God. And he demonstrated that he was God through his sinless life, through his words, through his works, through his miracles. And he also said that he would die. And he said that he would not only die, but in 3 days he would be resurrected. And guess what? He was resurrected, which means he is still alive today. We serve a living God. This is the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus is so significant that time itself is measured by his existence. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you fall within the framework of time, and time itself has been forever marked by Jesus Christ. We measure time BC, before Christ, and AD, which means the year of our Lord. He's so significant, time has been forever changed. At the turn of the millennium, a very secular magazine, not a Christian magazine, just a regular old magazine, it wrote a list of the most significant people in the world for the millennium, and Jesus was first place. And they wrote it this way, and I find it so interesting that this is not a Christian magazine necessarily, but they said, by any secular standpoint, Jesus is the dominant figure of Western culture. Like the millennium itself, much of what we now think of as Western ideas, inventions, and values finds its source and inspiration in the religion that worships God in the name of Jesus Christ. They went on to say art and science and the self and society, politics and economics, marriage and family, right and wrong, body and soul, all have been touched and radically transformed by the Christian influence. Jesus is the hinge on which the door of history swings. The point at which eternity intersects with time. He is the Savior who redeems time by drawing all things to Himself. And I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a little excited to talk to you today about Jesus. The song they sang last week says, "Let me tell you about my Jesus." And that is what I'm here today to do. I just want to tell you about Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin in verse 1. This is resurrection morning. Beginning in verse 1. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed." Can y'all just say that word with me? Perplexed. "While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. This is an angelic appearance. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Amen. This particular section of Scripture, and really one verse, really has impacted me this past week or so. And I began looking at this, and I started thinking, and I'm going to ask you a question this morning for yourself. You don't have to shout this out. We're not going to do that. Maybe. But it might be embarrassing, so no. Let's roll back. Have you ever forgotten something significant? Like really important. You know, as a pastor, I've done weddings, and it was like one of the first really important questions is, do you have a marriage license? Oh no. Oh no. And no, they're not open today. So have you ever forgot something important? You ever forgot your spouse's birthday, anniversary? I'm looking around, and there's some stories I can already tell because some of you guys are looking at one another, and so I'm going to ask afterwards, not right now, but have you ever forgotten something really important? Have you ever forgot a holiday? Have you ever forgot, you know, have you ever been like, have a task, I need to bring this to there, and you get there, and you go, what? The whole purpose of the trip was to bring this, and I forgot this. Have you ever, today? Lisa this morning, she's already in practice. She's like, oh my goodness, Justin, I need you to go home. I forgot the cords for something very important up here. I don't know what it was, but you know, I was like, yep, there we go. That's a pretty important thing for Easter Sunday. Have you ever, and I don't know why I even wrote this down, but I'm going to say it because it's on my notes. Have you ever forgotten your pants? Let's just say this. I thought about something one of the most common fear-based, anxiety-based dreams is to arrive somewhere without clothing on. And I don't know why that's so popular because that's never happened to me, and I don't know of anybody, but I'm just going to ask it. Have you ever forgotten something that important? I hope not. I don't know why that is such a dream. Have you ever arrived somewhere and realized you had forgotten your child? Yeah, that's this was a regular thing in my childhood growing up, as I had a young cousin that was kind of moved next door to us with a grandparent and kind of really raised part of us. I mean, she's more of a sister than anything else, but she was always, it had always been the four of us, mom and dad, my older sister and me, and then all of a sudden it was five of us going places, and it was, you know, when mom and dad were leaving and doing the head counts, 1, 2, 3, 4, we're gone, and we would leave her, I don't know how many times she got left behind at church on Sunday, and then we'd have to drive back up, she'd be the last kid sitting there with the pastor, and I don't know if you've ever left a child behind, but there are important things that sometimes we forget, and sometimes I think we forget things that are told to us because we're not listening real well. Maybe we're halfway listening, and then my wife will tell me about what we have coming up. We've got this party coming up on this night, and I'm and then I'm like, wait a minute, there's a party tonight? She's like, oh, Justin. Oh, no, I remember now. And then she'll start telling me the details. I remember now, but maybe it took her retelling me to make me, I don't know. But we forget things often. And these ladies arrived at the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joanna, and others. And they arrive, they have spices prepared to apply to the body. And they first find the stone rolled away. Very familiar story for Easter Sunday. The stone is gone, so they can look in and they see that the body is gone, and they are immediately perplexed. The Bible says they are confused. They're also filled with fear. They had expected, they had prepared to come and apply ointment and spices to the body, and now the body is gone. And so they are immediately filled with a lot of emotions. And then an angel appears, and the angel gives the great Easter proclamation that we know so well. It says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen." And then the angel says something to them that I find remarkable. You see, these ladies should have been expecting this to happen. Jesus had told them, "I must die, and in 3 days I will rise again." And yet it says they were perplexed when they got there and Jesus is gone. And so the angel, and you can't tell the tone from reading the word, but to me the tone sounds like Lisa reminding me of something, and that's just the way I interpret it. But the angel, in this loving, kind, trying to settle them, says, "Remember. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise." And then verse 8 just simply says, "And they remembered his words," which means they forgot. That's so, the most significant promise Jesus spoke or made while walking the earth, that he would be crucified and resurrected. And when it happened, they sat there perplexed as if they had forgotten. And the angel said, no, remember. And he goes, "Oh, now we remember his words." It makes me feel like I have had, and not that I'm just oblivious and don't listen to my wife, but, you know, I'm a man. So I don't know. She's not in here right now to say, "Yes, that's the truth." But it seems so familiar. I'll miss something, or I'm not listening to something. And I'll, for example, she'll come home and her hair is new and done. And I'm like, I didn't know you were going to get your hair done. And she'll say, "Remember when we talked about this?" And then I don't know why, but she'll give a location. "We talked about it in the car on the way to your mother's." That's the way the angel is. He goes, "Remember when he told you this while y'all were in Galilee?" Well, I don't know why the location helps, but we do this in our marriage and in our family, and I see it right here in the Bible. He goes, "Remember, y'all were in Galilee, and he spoke to you." And then they start going, "Wait a minute, I do remember. And he said, I must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. I must be crucified, and on the third day, I will rise again." And they remembered his words. I find it just remarkable that something this giant, something this significant, rising from the dead, resurrecting himself, that he told them the plan, and then when it happened, they seemed confused. But here's what I know. I know, looking back over this last week of the life of Jesus, I know what they went through. We celebrated last Sunday the triumphal entry of Jesus. What a high the followers of Jesus must have been on. Received and walked into Jerusalem like a king. Walked in with a red carpet rolled out, but it wasn't a red carpet. It was coats and cloaks and palm leaves, but laid out for him. And what a high they must have been on. And as the week progressed, within just a few days, they would have the Last Supper, and then they would have the betrayal of Judas, and then they would have the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then they would have this sham of a trial for Jesus, and then they would have the scourging and the torture and the brutality of a crucifixion. And that is what has been happening just within the last few days. And here's what I know about people, and here's what I see in this story with these ladies, is that pain made them forget some things. And pain will make you forget some things in your life. Pain will make you forget the goodness of God. Pain will make you forget the blessings of God, and pain will make you even forget the things that have been promised to you by God. Grief will do that to you. Worry will do that to you. Anxiety will do that to you. And even sin will cloud your memory and cloud your vision. And in the midst of this brutal week they endured, they forgot the most significant promise that Jesus had ever spoken to anyone, that I will rise again. And they forgot. It's no wonder that we see commands of Jesus to do things. You do this in remembrance. You do this in remembrance. We do communion to remember, to keep things fresh in our memory. And this morning, I know life in general just kind of beats us down sometimes. Life in general, it starts to cloud us over a little bit. And so this morning, I come to just be a beacon of reminder. And I ask you, what are the promises that God has spoken to you? What are some of the promises that have started to fade from your memory, that you were holding on to and leaning on and standing on, that have started to fade from your memory? We are all given up. And this wonderful book is just a book of promise after promise after promise to His people. Promises of strength. Promises of rest, and promises of hope and salvation and answering prayers and protection. Promises. The Word says that He'll never leave or forsake you. A promise that says nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. Promises that say you can break chains, you can be free from bondage and free from sin. Promise after promise. And then there are specific promises that He has spoken to you and only you. There are things in your life that He has said that are coming for you. And enough time goes by, enough grief goes by, enough worry goes by, enough pain goes by, and the memory starts to fade and be ripped away from us. And I came to tell you, the greatest promise that He ever gave. The greatest promise He ever gave. And it's one that we cannot forget. We need a constant reminder of it. This is why coming in it as a body in times of fellowship is so important, because we need the reminder. We need to gather together for the reminder. The Bible says we need the word of our testimony. That's part of a reminder. We need an angelic visit that says, hey, remember, you need to remember. It's already been spoken to you. It's already been promised to you. We've been given the promise of salvation. This entire weekend celebration is all about the promise of salvation. A promise that Jesus made, that you could be made new. Not just made better, made new, brand new, a new creature, a new heart, a new nature, everything about you brand new. As we look through this weekend, we see the entire gospel wrapped up into just a few days. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we say, well, how does that apply to me? How does that impact me? This is the gospel. This is, we die to our sin. We repent and we die to our sin. That our old self is buried, and when we are resurrected, and that is illustrated through our baptism, right? That's a watery grave. That our old man is buried, and then we are resurrected anew. Just as Jesus was resurrected, we are given the promise of resurrecting into a new creation with a new heart. Completely cleansed. This weekend, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. This weekend we were eating out. I bet there's a good chance this, whoever this is, we don't know. It was anonymous, but they might even be in the room today. But Lisa and I were having lunch, and we got ready to pay our bill, and they said, it's already been covered. It's already been paid for. I said, man, That's cool. It's a blessing. It's a financial blessing. It's a sweet gesture. It's a sweet thing of love. But at the same time, I sat there and said, what a weekend for something like this to happen. It was on Good Friday that it happened. And I said, that Good Friday is all about somebody else paying your bill, isn't it? It's all about somebody else paying your debt. It's exactly, it was like, I'm sorry, preacher mind starts going off. I'm like, oh no, somebody paid for your lunch. That's really sweet. And I went, somebody paid for all of my debts long ago. Somebody covered the bill for me long ago. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The debt that I had piled up in my life because of sin was enormous. And Jesus came and He lived the life that I was supposed to live, but couldn't live. He lived a sinless life, the life that I was supposed to live, and then He died the death that I was supposed to die. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says it this way, For our sake He made Him to be sin which knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. See, Jesus became sin. Jesus, who knew absolutely no sin, became sin for us and for me. Completely wiping our debt clean. I don't know what, I'm sure all of us, most of us have some kind of debt, even if it's just house debt. We've been followers of Dave Ramsey for a long time, so you get to celebrate debt-free even if you already have, you still have your house debt. You know, that one has a loophole somewhere there, but I just can't imagine waking up one day and just having, I wake up and I look at all my accounts of who I owe and what I owe, and all of it has been wiped clean, and they go, no, somebody just wiped that for you. That is what happened on the cross. And there is hope for you, that He wants you, that He loves you, that He wants you, and He wants you to be born again. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about, being born again. Jesus said it to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a wise religious man, came to Him in secret and said, hey, I've got questions. I believe Nicodemus was on the edge of being all in, following after Jesus. And he said, I've got some questions. I've got some questions about how to make it to heaven. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And that made no sense. What does that mean, born again? I don't understand that. And He says, you must be born of water and of spirit. You must be born again. Born of water, born of spirit. And it's this spirit part that I love. You know, I read this Bible and sometimes I just don't get it. Am I alone there? Sometimes I read it and I go, man, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I need a translation. Maybe I need the idiot's guide to the Bible. I don't know. I need the cliff notes. I need some help. I need something. And the Bible says, Jesus Himself said that the Holy Spirit would come and be a helper to you. And He said in John 14, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things. There are some things that I just can't understand without the Spirit involved. But He not just teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all things. What has started to fade from us? That we need just reminders about the goodness of God. We need reminders about all of the amazing things He has done in our life and all of the promises He has said to us that are to come, that haven't come yet. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? That He might bring us to God. That He would bring us to God. God wants a relationship with you so bad. He wants you in eternity with Him so bad that He sent Jesus to suffer for your sins, the righteous for the unrighteous so that he could bring you to God. This is, without a doubt, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is, how do you respond to Resurrection Sunday? How do you respond to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Jesus said of Himself, I am the resurrection. Even before He resurrected Himself, He was in the resurrection business. He'd already resurrected Lazarus, and He continues to be in the resurrection business of resurrecting lives to new creations in Him. I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in Me, though he may die, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, says we, and this, it bothers me that churches are saying we're not going to use the word resurrection. It bothers me that some churches are saying we don't believe in the resurrection, that we don't believe in the supernatural, we don't believe in those miracles, because Paul says so clearly that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Why do I want to say the word resurrection 100 times today? Because I want it to be preached and to declare and to be implanted in your hearts. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And there we go. What is Easter completely about? What is this weekend completely about? It is about a God madly in love with you that would break all the stops and stop at nothing to redeem you, to save you, to pay your debt so that you could be brought to Him. And it is that message this morning that's the only reason we can say there's joy in the house. It's the only reason we can say there's hope in the house. There is hope for you. You say, I don't know about for me. There might be hope for them. They're a little better than me. No, there's hope for you. Lisa and I, many years ago, very difficult time in our marriage, we went away for a week-long, they said marriage counseling, but then they changed the word. They said marriage intensive. I went, oh, that wasn't in the brochure. It was intense. But they simply named it Hope Restored. I said, what a beautiful name. We got to talk to some people last week about it, and I said, all I can say is that they lived up to their name. They restored hope. There was a glimmer of hope left for us, for our marriage, for our love for one another. And sometimes you just need a little extra hope, a little glimmer of it. And today I'm here to remind you of all of the wonderful things that God has given you and what He has promised to give you in your Word, in His Word, and to restore some hope. Would you stand this morning? And it's that hope. It's because of that that we get to sing a declaration of what is actually going on. Not what the world says is going on, not what's on the news, not what's all around us. We try to shut all of that out and say, that's all false. That's fake news, right? That's fake news. We need some fact checkers. What's actually going on today is that there is hope, is that there is joy. There is hope for you. There's salvation for you. There is deliverance for you. Everything you need can be found in Jesus. And everything you need is in this place today. So don't leave without getting what you need. I pray that if you came in here with a need, you leave without it. I pray that if you were carrying some things on your shoulders, you cast it down at the feet of Jesus. There is joy in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Do you believe that today? Come on, put your hands together today. Let's worship Him one more time, Lisa.